Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Monday, March 11th. It is indeed Kale and Company, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube. As we head until 10 o'clock this morning, 855-839-1210, the phone number, on social media at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, Dawn Stenslin with the news, Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board, Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. Another weekend comes and goes, and we're back at it today. Dawn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Weekend go okay?
Went great.
Gregory?
Hey, buddy.
How was your weekend?
Good, man. You?
It was good.
Good.
Wife and daughters are up.
Oh.
Spring break.
Wow.
For the girls.
Nice.
I watched zero television yesterday.
Wow.
Didn't even turn the thing on.
Wow.
Nice.
Is this a first for you?
It is. It is.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was fun. Oh, we got a lot of good things to get to this morning. A big take on the big guy. It's amazing how quickly that juice can wear off, isn't it? Yeah, when you were a kid, you'd have like some lollipops and freeze pops and maybe some grape soda, and then you'd crash like 10 hours later. Kind of feel like that's how Joe Biden's weekend went after the State of the Union address on Thursday night. We'll get to that. We also have a TikTok flip-flop. Say that 10 times fast. Very interesting turnaround here when it comes to Trump and Republicans on TikTok compared to Joe Biden and Democrats in TikTok. I'm confused, but I have theories. We'll kick that around this morning. And also, Josh Shapiro says, we're not going to go down the road that New York City has gone down yet. I'm not going to pull a Kathy Hochul yet. We'll get to that as we move on this morning. Loaded cut sheet. By the way, I saw some of the clips of George Stephanopoulos, what he did to Nancy Mace, or what Nancy Mace didn't say, depending on who you talk to and who you listen to. We'll get to that this morning. That's going to be on the cut sheet. But we have all sorts of goodies lined up. Well, let's get to the news right out of the gate. Round number one, 603, the great Dawn Stenslin.
And good morning, Kale and Company News live on this blustery day. Very windy, high winds. We'll talk about it. 39 degrees this morning. I want to begin with students returning to school for the first time, juniors and seniors returning to in-person learning. This is at Northeast High School for the first time since 8 students were shot on a school bus stop, which here in Philadelphia is a SEPTA bus stop. 11th and 12th grade students returning to in-person learning this morning, Northeast High School. And this is a first after eight of their classmates were shot at that bus stop. So the school announcing over the weekend, 9th and 10th graders will still be learning remotely today and tomorrow. And then the groups will switch. So both groups will then have access to the district's emergency crisis response team of the Office of Prevention and Intervention. And that's along with those crisis counselors that I told you were on site last week, but also available for Zoom learning. So they wanted to provide, they say, this individualized support. There's a lot of trauma here. A lot of the kids are concerned and their parents concerned about getting to school safely. And then many of the classmates grieving, you know, after those and just trying to coping with 8 of their fellow classmates shot. Investigators say this happened right after school, 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. 3 gunmen got out of a vehicle right near the 7300 block of Rising Sun Avenue and simply opened fire on that large group of individuals, striking the bus. Nearby businesses did not strike anybody on the bus already, but had struck those eight students, one of them still in critical condition, seven boys, one girl between the ages of 15 and 17, and they were struck multiple times by that gunfire. As of this morning, seven in stable condition, 16-year-old boy that we've talked about last week, still in very critical condition. That 16-year-old appears to be the target. The one target was shot nine times. Just one kid.
And you're so the, just so I can get this straight, it's they're kind of flip-flopping, like when the guidance counselors and other school mental health officials will kind of alternate and rotate through all the groups, different grades.
So it's a lot, you know, it's a very large school.
Sure.
So instead of having everybody returning, they wanted just the juniors and seniors today, tomorrow, so that they will have individualized care. And I don't have word of how many counselors were brought in. That's a great question. And did they bring in others from outside just to meet the need?
Yeah, I was going to say with the amount of students enrolled in that school, they've probably had to bring in outside, mental health professionals.
And so then it flips Wednesday, Thursday. They were all virtual learning last week. So that is still under investigation. We talked a lot about it last week. I'll take you to Philadelphia over the weekend, making national news as those pro-Palestinian demonstrators were marching through the streets, and there was a lot of rain. There was not great weather, as you well know. On Saturday, a rainy day, they were repeating those calls for a permanent ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war, and as it's being deemed a war, but Israel says this is an act of self-defense. Hamas should simply surrender. But those pro-Palestinian demonstrators, the Philly Palestine Coalition, they say that they've organized about 100 protests and demonstrations here in the Philadelphia region. They say that Saturday's was one of the largest. They're demanding intervention from leaders here and from Joe Biden in the United States. And we've talked a lot about the fact that Biden in especially places like Michigan, Minnesota, and many here from Pennsylvania, but Michigan, Minnesota, it has been a factor in primaries in this election year. And speaking of that, for the first time, a first U.S. military vessel carrying construction supplies to build a temporary dock along the Gazan coast set off from Virginia on Saturday, heading toward the Middle East. This is the first step of a plan to directly deliver humanitarian supplies and aid to those civilians in Gaza. And of course, it was announced by President Joe Biden during his State of the Union address just last week. So just wanted to headline for you that we that our troops, our military who are aiding the situation, they set off from Virginia on Saturday over the weekend. And that is underway. May take as long as 2 months, by the way, and involve some 1,000 of our military troops to get to the operational status that they're hoping for. That's the United States involvement in that humanitarian aid. Of course, we will talk about last night, Oppenheimer's big night, as I think Oppenheimer was the biggest winner at the 2024 Academy Awards, the Oscars.
Such a great movie. Incredibly long, probably too long for almost every human being, even if you have a great attention span, but a great movie.
So I think they nabbed six other awards other than the Academy Award. And, of course, Best Supporting Actor Robert Downey Jr., otherwise known as Iron Man.
Did you guys see a naked John Cena?
Yes.
You know, when I got home last night, that thing was going viral on social media. I mean, you know, everybody was coming out, well, why is Hollywood so perverted? It's always about sex and nudity.
It was a joke from 1974.
Okay.
When a streaker ran across the stage at the Oscars.
Ah.
So that was the bit.
I'm a big John Cena fan. Don't need to see him wrapped around, something around his waist.
It was funny.
Apparently he was really naked, too.
Yeah. Like, well, he was holding the envelope or whatever.
So even though he was covered up on TV, he was actually, there was no, like, underwear underneath?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let the ladies have at that.
They showed a picture of him, like, rehearsing for it and like his
could have been a thong.
Well, yeah, how he grew his hair back too, by the way.
Yeah,
somebody that can't grow his hair back.
And it was for best wardrobe, which was appropriate. So the joke, you know, it was. I thought it was funny. But we should give a shout out, Philadelphia native and Temple grad. We talked about her, Davine Joy Randolph, won Best Supporting Actress for The Holdovers, which if you saw it, she was awesome in. And a lot of kids were at students at Temple. We're holding watch parties and cheering for us. That was pretty cool.
Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, took the bait and read a Trump tweet on
I'm glad that I was with family because I have no interest in watching that schlub.
Well, Trump had a pretty good response, so we get that. And we do have our Sixers. We won. We're winners. We're the winners.
Yeah, they didn't cover though. It was six and a half. I was so that was my lock of the week, and I was like, they're gonna. It's a revenge game for them.
Yeah,
and
you've won what, three of your last four?
I took them at 6.5, and they won by 6.
Yeah. Sometimes the hook will get you.
It's all good. Oh. It's that half a point,
what?
Man.
That's why they created
man.
It.
Yeah. So it's 79-73. New York. We beat the New York Knicks. Be better next time, guys. Come on, dude. Just win by 8.
Good teams win. Great teams cover.
Thank you, Nick. Yeah.
That was funny. We do have some. Man, yesterday's weather was just weird.
Horrendous.
With the snow squalls, and then it would be sunny. And then, so this wind, we're looking towards some high wind advisories today. So hopefully you batten down the hatches. But we do already this morning. I know. Down trees this morning.
Oh, the wind was awful. Yeah. I couldn't sleep last night.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Jeez.
The weather this weekend was, I'm glad we have an extra hour now of sunlight. Yeah. Or daylight. But the weather was horrendous. It rained all day Saturday.
Yeah. Like yesterday it was sunny and then cloudy, wet and then dry. Then I thought it was hailing for a moment.
Snow squalls.
Is that what they call that?
We're coming out. Oh, horrible.
Yeah. It was weird weather.
It really was.
So the wind, so we're looking to today. It's a windy, bright day, sunny skies, but 52 degrees. It'll never feel like the high of 52 degrees because of the wind. So it'll feel more like we're in the low 40s. The warm up continues, 65 degrees for your tomorrow, Tuesday, bright sunny skies. Wednesday, 70 degrees, sunny skies.
That's what I'm talking about.
This is wonderful. And then we move in. We still stay in the 70s Thursday, Friday, low 70s, and sunny skies continue. And then looking ahead to your weekend, mid-March, we're looking at still sunny on Saturday, 61 degrees. For Sunday, 60 degrees. However, there's about maybe a 30% chance that we'll see some showers. And by the way, because of daylight saving time arriving, this was the shortest weekend of the year.
Ugh.
So we kind of got it on both ends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
So short
stuff. I hate short weekends.
Oh, yes, so do I.
Brutal.
Yeah.
But we look forward to longer, brighter days ahead. This is Kellen Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:13 on Monday morning. Let's get to another big take.
The Big Take on Kellen Company.
That is brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. It's a big take. Joe's juice wore off fast. You know, it was as if Joe Biden was shot out of a cannon on Thursday night at the State of the Union. The headlines on Friday morning, as we talked about it, all highlighted how fiery he was in his speech on Thursday night. I personally viewed it as an angry speech full of slurs and glazed over eyes. I tweeted out Thursday night that Joe was injected with all sorts of juice. I was thinking an IV of a 24-ounce Red Bull, bare minimum. Well, he's crashed and burned ever since. And oh, by the way, medical experts believe he was on drugs for his performance Thursday night. Let's start with one doctor's opinion, and then we will get to Weekend at Biden's as Joe makes a fool of himself in both Pennsylvania and Georgia as he hit the campaign trail in the two swing states, presumably not on the same substances he was on Thursday night, allegedly. Headline from the Washington Times. Psychiatrist sees signs Biden was medicated for State of the Union. Quote, at various points, Mr. Biden appeared to slur some of his words. That's not new for the president, who does sometimes slur his words when he gets excited. But Dr. Lieberman said the speed in which he slurred suggested he was psychopharmacology helped. That's right. Per Jeff Murdoch's column in the Washington Times, a psychiatrist who has worked with elderly dementia patients said President Joe Biden exhibited signs of stimulant use, to mask cognitive decline in his amped-up, aggressive State of the Union speech on Thursday. Mr. Biden often raced through his remarks with the speed of an auctioneer, loudly shouting his words despite having a microphone in front of him. Speed and volume of speech can be a sign of using Adderall or another amphetamine, said Dr. Carol Lieberman, a forensic psychiatrist based in Beverly Hills, California, end quote. Now, if we had an honest media, these are questions that they would be pondering out loud after his speech late Thursday night on all the talking network shows, all day Friday, and throughout the weekend of programs. But we don't. Left-wing media is just full of Democrat fanboys and activists. But let's get to the weekend that was for Biden and also for Trump as we highlight the stark differences in the two on the campaign trail. Pennsylvania and Georgia are two key swing states that could very well decide this race come November. And it was not a good weekend for the big guy. Here's Biden in Georgia during his national organizing call. I give you exhibit one of the juice wearing off. Listen and watch this.
Thank you.
Joe.
Hello, everybody. I'm Joe Biden. I'm Joe Biden's husband. We just finished meeting with small business owners here in Atlanta. Starting a small business is literally an act of hope.
I'm Joe Biden's husband? Did Joe marry himself? Well, it is 2024. I guess you can claim whatever you want these days. And we all know that Joe gets super stoked talking about January 6th. But apparently, he has another day that gets him jacked up. I now give you exhibit number two of the sauce being worn off. Listen and watch this.
Last night, the U.S. Capitol, the same building where our freedoms came under assault on July the 6th.
July the 6th. Yeah, he's only off by 6 months. But that was Joe on Friday in Pennsylvania. Now for the main course. We know on Thursday night that when addressing the border and Lake and Riley, Joe used the word illegals. We saw mid-1990s Joe reemerge for a moment, and it didn't sit well with Nancy Pelosi. But here is Joe in Atlanta, Georgia this weekend with MSNBC talking about his slip. Listen and watch.
But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. I should have, it's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that his, the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing. We have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
No, you can use illegal. Not being here legally means you are here illegally. It's a simple concept to understand. You can also use the word alien. It's right in the United States Constitution. And the audacity of Joe to almost defend illegal immigrants in this country. How about defending Americans, Joe? And illegal immigrants built this country? Disgraceful on all fronts. But is Joe Biden the president of America? Or is he the president of South America, Mexico, Ukraine, Gaza? Actually, Joe's tired of being the POTUS. His next goal to save America is to be reelected to Congress. Listen and watch this clip.
You know, in Pennsylvania, I have a message for you. Send me to Congress that I can support this right, and I promise you, if we take back Congress, we will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land.
Yes, Pennsylvania, please vote for Joe for Congress this fall. Just don't vote for him to be the president. Meanwhile, Donald Trump making headlines this weekend. The 77-year-old was in Rome, Georgia at a rally, and then he flew to Miami on Saturday night for UFC 299. If you think Joe's words are bad, his actions and policies are actually worse, as we've all lived them for 3+ years. But don't take it from me. Take it from his predecessor. Listen and watch.
Everything Joe Biden touches turns to everything.
It's a pretty accurate statement, but what about a more uniting Trump? Can he soften his edges and smooth those edges and win some people over who are undecided? As we know, A lot of the independents, a lot of the moderates could very well decide 2024. Here was his message at unification. Listen and watch this.
And to all Americans, whether you are a Republican, an independent, or a disillusioned Democrat, of which there are many, all you had to do is watch that horrible State of the Union. That was the worst president in history, making the worst State of the Union speech in history. But if you're a disillusioned Democrat, of which there are many today, I extend an open hand, an open invitation, and I ask you to join us on the noble quest of saving our country. Saving our country.
One man was on the move all weekend, full of energy, not slowing down hardly at all at age 77. The other was clearly on another planet without allegedly the benefits of some pharmaceutical to enhance his speaking performances and his speaking engagements. All of those clips I just played for you to lead to this. We are now set for the general election. It's Biden against Trump. But will Biden debate Trump? It would go incredibly bad for him based on Friday and Saturday's gaffes and snafus, in contrast to his hyped up shouting fest from Thursday night's State of the Union. And why do we bring up debates? Well, the New York Post with this headline, Biden confirms he may refuse to debate Trump, saying, quote, it depends on his behavior. President Biden confirmed Friday that he may refuse to debate former President Donald Trump ahead of their anticipated election rematch. Quote, it depends on his behavior, the 81-year-old told reporters as he left the White House for a campaign trip to Philadelphia. Trump, 77, said on Wednesday that Biden must agree to debate him amid suspicion that the incumbent would skip the traditional forums to deny the presumptive Republican nominee relatively unfettered TV airtime. Quote, it is important, said Trump, for the good of our country that Joe Biden and I debate issues that are so vital to America and the American people, Trump wrote on Truth Social. Therefore, I am calling for debates anytime, anywhere, any place, end quote. See, this is a win-win for Trump, if you think about it. Win-win when it comes to debates for number 45. If Joe ducks him, he shows weakness. If he engages, Trump could very well, in all likelihood, would destroy him. Now, we're 8 months out until the election, but something tells me that Joe's going to need all sorts of juice over these next 200-plus days to swing the pendulum back in his favor, if it's possible at all. The last 4 days since the State of the Union address haven't been the best of looks for Joe Biden. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the big take this morning brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. For a limited time, get 0% APR for 60 months on select 2024 Mazda CX-5 and Mazda CX-30 models. Find yours at Piazza Mazda of Westchester and Reading or online at PiazzaMazda.com. 855-839-1210 is how you jump in. You can also have your opinion heard on social media at 1210 WPHT. Or, of course, just chime in on the YouTube chat. It's the Kale and Company comment community. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons today. We'll get some thoughts and reactions from what has transpired since the State of the Union over the last couple of days. And also, when it comes to Trump and Biden, we have a TikTok flip-flop. What do we make of this? We'll get to that as we continue. It's Kale and Company live here on a Monday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Happy Monday to all of you. Hopefully you had a great weekend. Nick, Dawn, and Greg as we continue here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. 855-839-1210 is the phone number. We'll get to TikTok here coming up in just a few moments. Also, very interesting stuff. We have some updates for you from the State of the Union on Thursday night as far as how the ratings played out and the fact that the New York Times fact-checked Joe Biden many times, actually, on the state of the economy. The RNC has a new chair and co-chair. And also Josh Shapiro, not going to do a Kathy Hochul just yet as we continue this morning. But Don, wanted to get your thoughts from what transpired since we were last together on Friday morning. I thought it's interesting that it's not just me, it's not just any other talking head that says, man, I think Joe might have been on something Thursday night. You have a psychiatrist who comes out from Beverly Hills, California, who, and as we know, psychiatrists compared to psychologists, psychiatrists can prescribe medication. So the psychiatrist comes out and says, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Joe was on Adderall or some other sort of, you know, stimulant or amphetamine to get through that speech. And over the course of Friday and Saturday, Joe says that he is married to himself. July 6th was a dark day, not January 6th. July 6th, 2 days after our nation's Independence Day. And Joe wants Pennsylvania to reelect him to Congress. So he doesn't know what office he's running for. He's off by a half a year on a dark day for American democracy. And apparently he kicked Jill to the curb and remarried himself. That might go viral on TikTok itself. That's a very interesting revelation that we learned about the big guy. Yet here's Trump, massive rally in Rome, Georgia. And then he takes a jet down to Miami to watch UFC 299 on Saturday night. And he's as fresh as an iceberg head of lettuce that I just picked up from Giant. Big differences in the two guys over the last couple of days.
Yeah, so GOP and Laura, you know, Laura Trump has those big muscles. She's so fit. She's saying, like, I'm ready to, you know, get in there and get this done. So let's go. She says, good. Let's get it done.
She says, we will do legal ballot harvesting. You hear that? She's ready.
Well, I think it's a new day and they're being assertive. I think they need to get out the vote. And, you know, the GOP, as we've said, has been a mess. So look at this candidate. Look at this economy. Look at everything that's going on. If the GOP and Republicans cannot win this, just fold up.
Well, this is right.
This is the worst economy we've seen. Look at these historically low poll numbers. And so, you know, I just think, yes, it's an opportunity. Seize on it.
Yeah.
Don't anybody. I don't want to hear about the past. I don't even want to hear about past elections, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to hear about the future and making America great again.
You're right.
As Reagan said back in the day.
Yeah, you're right. You can't relitigate 2020. You can't change the outcome. And talking about 2020 doesn't help you win 2024. It's about doing everything you possibly can to maximize your ability to get to 270 plus votes from the Electoral College. You know, and then you think about Joe and the Democrats. I mean, I thought Joe was really over the top last Thursday. We talked about it a ton on Friday, obviously. And I know you have these things pre-planned in advance, but it's almost like one of those things. Like the way the mainstream media, and I'm sure Joe Scarborough and Mika were talking probably Friday, and I have no idea what they said on Friday. I think we might have played like one clip Friday in cut sheet part due before we got out of here. But they were probably doing victory laps saying, see, Joe still has it. That's where I think if you're Joe and the Democrats, if the mainstream media is saying you put on a great performance Thursday night, that's where you kind of shut it down for a little bit, right? You don't go out and do whatever on Friday. He's back in Pennsylvania. I mean, he's been to Pennsylvania 20,000 times in the last 3 years. Probably could have skipped that. Probably could have avoided the Georgia thing. It's like one of those things where you go into the casino and you're up a quick $500. Get out. Just leave, right? Walk away a winner. Walk away with a profit. Don't give it back. I would say Joe gave a lot of it back, according to the mainstream media, if they were praising him Friday, based on the way he was all over the place Friday and Saturday with all sorts of gaffes and snafus. And then we get to TikTok. And I think this is incredibly fascinating. And I'm still trying to process this in real time. I jotted down this theory last night. I could be dead wrong, but there's two interesting stories with Trump and Biden and the social media application of TikTok. So Axios has a story on why Trump now opposes banning TikTok, and the Wall Street Journal has a story about Biden backing efforts to force the sale of TikTok by Chinese owners ByteDance and ban it in this country. Let me start with Trump here. So Axios says former President Donald Trump stunned Republican China hawks this past week when he appeared to argue against banning TikTok. Now, this is fascinating because Trump and the GOP have always been tougher on China than the Democrats and Biden have been. Trump and the GOP always look at it from a national security standpoint, which, is why I think TikTok should be banned. And also, when we think about being able to voice your opinion on social media, Republicans value free speech more. Now, I don't know how many people truly share, you know, a ton of political opinions on TikTok, but it's still an app that you can get out there and voice your opinion on. We use it for the pronouns on the cut sheet. So why this matters, according to Axios, is that Trump spearheaded the original U.S. threat to ban TikTok over national security concerns. Now, 4 years later, Biden and Congress have picked up the mantle with a bipartisan bill targeting ByteDance, which is set to hit the House floor this upcoming week. And we know that Joe loves to kind of steal ideas and slogans from Trump. But remember, Trump this past week said, quote, and he said this on Truth Social, if you get rid of TikTok, Facebook and Zuckerschmuck will double their business. I don't want Facebook, who cheated in the last election, doing better. They are a true enemy of the people. So members of Congress, and we talked about this on Friday, the one thing that Gen Z gets fired up over is when they decide to push back and take away TikTok from the youths of today. So Congress is getting, you know, bombarded with all of these calls and emails and threats from angry constituents about a potential ban of TikTok. Now, keep this in mind as well. Vivek has been pushing for the GOP to use TikTok more to reach the younger demo, that 18 to 34-year-old crowd. And according to Axios, Trump actually does really, really well on TikTok. I wouldn't know because I'm not on TikTok. But they say snippets of his speeches, impersonations, and other content involving Trump routinely racks up tens of millions of views on TikTok. Prominent MAGA figures, conservative comedians, and other cultural commentators with large followings are also highly active on TikTok. I've never heard of the Nelk Boys. I'm not sure if anybody in this audience has, but they've had a podcast where they've had Donald Trump on the podcast twice, and it's gotten up to 4.6 million views on TikTok. And if you follow some Trump influencers on Twitter, one person that will probably ring a bell is Alex Brusewitz, who says, quote, I don't get the rush to ban TikTok in the middle of an election year when we are doing tremendously well and making progress with Gen Z. Brusewitz goes on to say that MAGA content does very well on TikTok, and Meta is suppressing MAGA content on both Facebook and Instagram. So interesting that there's this reversal of course here with Trump, with the GOP, and with MAGA, with TikTok, yet Biden and the Dems are doing the complete opposite. Here's my theory on this. I think there's a lot of smart Democrats within the, whether you want to call it the DNC or strategists or the people that are telling Joe not only what to say, but how to ramp up his election efforts and everything else. I think they are aware of how well Trump does on TikTok. Again, I have no idea. I've only been on Twitter and Twitter alone for the last 11 years. But this to me, now, when they are trying to get this ban, they said in the next 165 days. So if you do the math, that's about 5.5 months. That'll get us to the end of August, early September, Labor Day. And what happens when we get to Labor Day and post-Labor Day? Everybody returns from summer vacation. They check back in. Kids go back to school. People start paying attention to the news again. And we'll be just about 2 months away from the election. I think this is another effort for Democrats to stifle momentum of Trump on maybe an unforeseen platform that a lot of people, myself included, didn't expect him to have success on, and that is TikTok. That's my theory with that. Are either of you on TikTok? No. Do we have a station TikTok?
We're trying to get one.
We're trying to get one?
Anthony Dorenzo is pushing me to it, and I've resisted, but okay. I feel like we have to, at some point, we have to jump.
I mean, with all the snippets we have for the show. Yeah. I think we should probably be on there. Now, I'm never going to create an account. But
so now Steve Bannon has suggested.
This is very interesting what Craig's going to say.
Steve Bannon has suggested that this all stems from a guy by the name of Jeff, what is it, Yaz or Yas? He's a conservative hedge fund manager who has a $33 billion stake in TikTok.
Smart
apparently, he had a meeting with Trump basically saying that if you don't, you know, if you don't get behind TikTok, I'm pulling my funding for your campaign. Oh. Basically, is what he's saying.
Ooh.
That's the allegation by Steve Bannon, who used to work in the Trump White House.
Now, who's Steve Yass? I believe is from this area.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Talked about him before.
Yeah.
So the other piece of this that I heard that I've heard explained is that first of all, this ban, which I'm not comfortable with, any political party or any politician or any president saying they're going to ban any broadcast site,
right.
even if I think it's if it's, you know, I'm just not, I don't know that that would completely survive a First Amendment right. challenge.
It's the stifling of speech.
Yes. So the solution here, the real solution here, and I don't, and Trump's not articulating this, and so if, and so he should. If this would be a smart thing for him to say, if he's going to ban this, even if it is because of his buddy and biggity big funder, yes, mm-hmm. yes. But the real deal here is that you, what you do is you create laws that are laser focused laws on data collection, on algorithms, and the ByteDance. This is not about TikTok. It's TikTok. It's ByteDance.
Yeah, it's the company.
And so the company that fuels this, which is based in China and allegedly run by the Communist Party, which the owner says it's not. However, by the law, by mm-hmm. Chinese law, that company actually must run things.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do whatever you want, but how do you dismantle that? The way to really reach this is not to just do this broad brush stroke ban. The way to do this is laser focus on every single company
mm-hmm.
and look into, and you need somebody smart. You need a Ramaswamy. You need somebody who's smart who can go into here and say, okay, your algorithms are a real problem. We know that. We know it about Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
We know, you mean, you have little girls. You have, you know, your daughters, by the way, are the prime target.
Mm-hmm.
starting yeah. at their age, right?
Well, and the algorithms, even though I love Twitter with Elon Musk and free speech, they're rigged as well. You only see the stuff that you typically scroll and look for. So it's tracking all of your habits, just like a website.
The way the internet works.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's just...
That's how web pages work.
Yes.
Yep.
Google just remembers stuff that you've Googled before and yep. it feeds it to you. That's the way algorithms and the internet
right,
work.
So make that illegal. So in other words, we've had meetings. I mean, we know DuckDuckGo based locally.
Mm-hmm.
And so companies like that still make a profit.
Yep.
Still make money. Still have a big company. But they don't actually, they choose not to do all the tracking that these other companies do.
Right.
The other piece of this with Facebook in particular, and this is the big problem that's on Facebook right now, is that it's one thing to track somebody for a consumer reason, but for these girls, the accusation, even by top doctors here in Philadelphia at Children's Hospital, et cetera, many people have testified to this. These companies, actually, if there are self-harm issues, the allegation is that they take them down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the one story of the one guy whose girlfriend broke up with him, and then they kept putting on, saying, look at what your girlfriend's doing, basically. I mean, it's like in your face.
Right.
That's just creepy. And it to me, it's stalking.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing. They're stalking you.
That's a good
and
point.
That's very different from saying, hey, you looked at that pretty blue dress, or you looked at that lovely hybrid Piazza Honda that Nick and I love. You know what I mean? That's one thing, okay?
Yeah, right.
That's not going to hurt anybody. But some of these individuals, my God, how far it goes.
I agree. 855-839-1210 is how you jump in. Dawn's going to have some news to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to get to the RNC tabbing a new chair and a co-chair. Does it matter? Is it also a sign of one of the weaknesses of Trump in the past and whether or not he's learned? And also, the National Guard will not police SEPTA here, according to Josh Shapiro, just yet. We'll get to all of that as we continue right here on a Monday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You know, we love to talk about Piazza Auto Group here, and I love Piazza. My stepson, Jonathan, was just over with his beautiful, he bought a gently used, if you will, pre-owned vehicle from Piazza Honda Auto Group. Loves it. It's gorgeous. And my son, Michael, I've talked a lot about with his Piazza Honda, his Civic. It's fantastic. They're just great to deal with. We all love them here. And I was looking at Consumer Reports actually over the weekend and how all the different ratings of the vehicles, if you love to do that. We just think the world of the Piazza Auto Group and the Piazza Premium Automobiles. A shout out to them. A congratulations to two new members to their family of dealerships, Infiniti Ardmore and Maserati of the Mainline, both located right there on Lancaster Avenue. Of course, you're going to get the same first class customer experience that I've experienced, that we've all experienced here, and that you've come to expect from Piazza Premium Automobiles and, quite frankly, from the entire family of Piazza dealerships. So find your newer certified pre-owned Infiniti, Maserati, or other Piazza luxury brands like Jaguar, Land Rover, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, some of the most beautiful, powerful vehicles on the roadway. Find them at PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
As we begin another week here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, 855-839-1210, the phone number. We will get to Sherelle Parker, Josh Shapiro coming up in hour number two. Also, the ratings are in for the State of the Union. We will get to that. And also how many times the New York Times fact-checked Joe Biden on the economy. That's all still ahead. Plus the latest debacle at CNN before we get to the cut sheet coming up at 7:45 this morning. But the Trump takeover of the Republican Party officially complete as just a few days ago. It became official on Friday as the RNC voted on Ronna McDaniel's successor, and they decided to elect the North Carolina GOP chair, Michael Whatley, as the chair of the RNC, with Laura Trump, the former president's daughter-in-law, as the co-chair of the RNC. So if you think about it now, Kevin McCarthy out, Mike Johnson in, we have Ronna McDaniel out, Michael Whatley, Laura Trump in. And, of course, Mitch McConnell will be stepping down at the end of the year. We'll see who becomes his successor there. But I did think this was interesting, and I think it's one of two things. The first two thoughts that came to my mind here when we see Michael Whatley from North Carolina and Laura Trump is, first of all, there's a lot of speculation, and we'll get to this later in the show. Some possible new names are being floated out there for vice president for Donald Trump. But it's going to be interesting to see if I think one of the things people have talked about in the past is that Donald Trump, the first time around, maybe didn't pick the best people for certain positions. Now, I don't know if that's the case here with Michael Whatley and Laura Trump, or maybe it's, well, it's the RNC, and yes, it's got Trump's brand and image all over it, but it's Trump calling the shots anyway, so who really cares, right? Like, it's okay, does the RNC really matter if Trump's the guy, you know, dictating everything for the party? Then yeah, you're just going to put in people that aren't going to challenge him or aren't going to come up with ideas that maybe go counter to what Trump wants. Dawn, your thoughts, because I know you love yourself some Laura Trump.
Yeah.
But I do love how the Rolling Stone says Trump selects Michael Whatley, election denier. By the way, still waiting for Rolling Stone to talk about Katie Porter, election denier, Democrat from California. Not going to hold my breath. Do you like this decision? Does it matter? Is it more of Trump picking the wrong people again? Did he not learn his lesson? What was your takeaway when you saw this news?
My takeaway on it with Laura Trump, and we had a chance, Greg and I met her. She was with a group. We met her a couple times, but she was here at the station when, and this was, you know, right leading up to the 2016 election with a Women for Trump, you know, type group. And so she is a go-getter. She's a very hard worker. She's not a prima donna. And that's what you love about her. And I think she's somebody who's clearly not a never Trumper. And she's somebody who's going to work hard and genuinely believes in the candidate, loves the candidate. And so I trust that she's going to do everything in her power to just do a great job and make sure that this is, that everybody can get out the vote, that they do everything they have to do to improve the platform. And my feeling is, quite frankly, in the past, although you may have a less experienced team, because you do want that experience on the other side, my feeling is there were just way too many never Trumpers.
Right.
And whether you're for Trump, not for Biden, you know, maybe you don't like either candidate. Okay. But quite frankly, if it's a party platform, shouldn't that person be serving to win? Isn't the goal of any political party? What's the goal?
Win.
Okay. Yes. So it's like having a coach that is secretly against winning.
Right. Right.
He's trying
He's trying to sabotage the whole thing because he's got sour grapes over something.
And sabotage by either just, you know, folding your arms and sitting back or doing things that are disingenuous. That's what I feel like. And at the same time, look at all the money loss. I know fundraising has been an issue, but you just feel like the past leadership, all we heard about was record spending and the spa days. And it seems like they were just using all the money donated to, you know, to serve their own personal spa day purposes rather than going out and doing your job.
Yep.
And so I hope that we see a GOP that serves the voters and serves the platform properly.
Still waiting on that Nikki Haley endorsement of Donald Trump, by the way, if you've been tracking at home.
I don't even care. They shouldn't be talking about her at all. I wish he would not talk about her. I wish he wouldn't bring up her name. I really do.
Yeah.
And just for me, sometimes even the tweet, I'm torn about the tweet, you know, on True Social last night that Greg read in earlier this morning, because I feel like for Trump, just put it out there that these Hollywood elites, they don't really represent America and they don't understand, you know, these Hollywood elites spend more money on a dress than most Americans would ever even be able to spend on a house.
Right.
That's what he should be tweeting about or Xing about, whatever, on social media. Just don't, you know, I know it gets the headline to make fun of others, but talk about the economy, talk about the southern border.
Yep, I agree. 855-839-1210 to jump in. Dawn will have some news to kick off hour number two, and then we will get to a very interesting story out of the Philadelphia Inquirer. Philadelphia and Pennsylvania not going to take a page out of the playbook of New York just yet. We continue hour two of Kale and Company next on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.